This is Super Yacht Radio.
And welcome to Super Yacht Radio. Thanks for being with us today. Sorry for breaking into the news there, or the music, I should say. But we've got some hot news coming from Monaco. We've got our lovely Lucy based at the Monaco Yacht Show. The things you have to do. Hey, Lucy.
Update.
It's a hard life. Someone's got to do it, though, Dave.
Isn't there a song about that? That reminds me of Annie or something. Well, it's a hard knock life.
But before exactly. We get into day two, we caught up with you yesterday about the same time, and you were off to the Golfcraft.
I was off to Golfcraft, and yes, they had a great press event there at the Monaco Yacht Club. And really, it was great. They had a panel. They had the chairman of the company, but also some journalists. Justin Radcliffe, Martin Redmayne was on the panel, as well as the designers. So it was actually a really informative event. I learned lots about Golfcraft yesterday. Really interesting company. And we were there for the launch. Well, they haven't got a boat in the show, but they do have a new build Majesty 175, big, big boat. Completely made of composite, you know, incredible. Just learning lots and lots about that yesterday because I didn't really know very much about composite yachts, but Golfcraft are the experts at it. So, yeah, really fascinating.
Out of curiosity, because I don't know that much about composite, what are the advantages notable big advantages of boats being built out of composite?
Lightweight.
Well, I think there's a couple of big advantages that I mentioned, but of course, one is that they're much lighter. So, you know, that the lightness of the structure helps with all kinds of efficiency. So, you know, we're always talking about sustainability as we are. That's a huge advantage. And of course, also that it comes out of a mold. Now, you know, once the mold is made for a particular, production yacht, then it can be done much more quickly than the steel structure. And there's not any rust issues also, which I think is a huge deal when it comes to steel and aluminium. So there's lots of advantages, but I had no idea they could go so big with a composite yacht.
Boats or like small little power boats more in composite.
One of the huge advantages of a composite is one of the big drawbacks of having a large boat is its draft tends to be quite deep. So bringing her into shallow waters or many harbors is not possible. With a composite, the draft, size for size, apple for apple, the draft is a lot less. Therefore, you've got more accessibility into shallower waters and into many marinas.
Yeah.
So that's a big consideration.
Absolutely. It was a really interesting conversation. And Cristiano Gatto is there, who actually designed the Majesty 175.
Cristiano Gatto, as in Mr. Cake.
No,
or
Gatto.
If Cat in Spanish.
Cat in Spanish.
Or Italian.
Oh, yeah. Dave's thinking of Gatto.
I was thinking Gatto as in French. It's like, hello.
Might be in France or Monaco, ladies and gentlemen, but there's certainly lots of languages. And of course, but it was, and what was really interesting as well is the captain of the 175 is Patricia Caswell.
Yes.
And it's always nice, I think, to hear from a female captain, but especially one as accomplished as that she is. And
is she Irish?
That was really wonderful.
It's a very Irish name.
She may have been.
She may have been. She resigned.
But really nice. I'm really enjoying the panel discussions that we're getting a lot of these press events, which is much more of the kind that we do on the radio. You know, it's really nice to bring into a room the designers and press and the chairman and architects and also captains. It was a really informative event and they did really well yesterday. I know that you guys may well have a chat with the chairman and just such passion. And such experience coming out of the UAE. It's a fascinating brand and one that I didn't know very much about. So look forward to learning
more. I was going
to
say, actually, because we don't, I mean, generally in super yacht media, we don't hear a tremendous amount vis-a-vis, I mean, we might hear about marinas in the UAE or Dubai in particular, but you don't hear as much about boat builders.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, Golfcraft have just done incredible things. Did you know they've actually built more than 10,000 vessels?
They're huge.
Incredible. Yes, they're a huge company. And they're furthering, you know, they really are pushing for the use of composite. And they're working with Sibas to sort of really drive that dialogue along. So, yeah, they're definitely one to watch. And it is interesting, you know, lots of people are starting to, you know, enthusiasts, if you like, really preferring those composite holes over traditional steel. Like you said, Dave, for their draft, but also their low weight, mm-hmm. Makes such a difference in delivering really efficient systems. So,
and fuel as well. Yeah.
Exactly.
Actually, speaking of fuel, there is a global problem with provision of fuel, which is having huge repercussions across the board in manufacturing and supplies of goods, in supplies of food. Has there been any talk at Monaco about the current energy crisis that's going on and whether it's interrupting any production or interfering with pricing? Or has that been a topic?
You mentioned that actually. And it hasn't really been brought up in terms of fuel, but people have definitely, and some of the shipyards that I've spoken to, Heysen notably, talking about how they've had, at the beginning of the pandemic, quickly kind of looked to their production, looked to all of their different elements and started to buy very differently so that they do have the things that they need. Because, of course, we spoke about the Suez Canal and all of the other issues that have been around during this strange time in history, affecting really the production and shipping of everything across the world. But I think that, yes, there are some notable delays. People are talking about delays, but many of the yards are talking about delivering on time. I think when you've got every shed full of a sold product, the pressure is on. And I think, you know, customers want to wait a lot less. Clients want to wait a lot less time. I mean, you know, 36 months or 40 some months from when you sign the contract, I think it's enough time to wait. And so
I was just looking at the news today, and like in England, the cost of fuel, gas has gone up 300%, and Germany 150%, France 180%. And this is having a huge negative effect on companies able to. There's a lot of companies actually closing down production, like steel manufacturers. A lot of steel manufacturers are actually shutting down and waiting for this this price problem to go back to normal. They just can't afford to keep going and producing at the current costs. And if they're not producing steel, then certain yards like Larsen's or Fed or whoever you're making steel hulls, they're going to have a problem actually getting raw materials to build the boats. It'll be interesting to see how it pans out, but it has become a huge, huge issue. And in England, they're seeing shelves in Tesco's and that empty because they just can't get the produce because of this gas.
I have to tell you, Dave, the talk in Monaco is not of shelves in Tesco's.
I would have thought that was paramount. I mean, there is a little Tesco somewhere there.
Well, so yesterday evening, I did see some industry friends, but Golfcraft was definitely the last work that I did. But there was no rest for the wicked because this morning off we went to go meet the lovely team at Tenkoa.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was really great this morning. They revealed a brand new concept, a 76-meter Alberto Mancini design super yacht concept called Apache. I thought it was Apache, but obviously not. And yeah, that's an aluminium, still an aluminium concept. Absolutely lovely. And a huge, huge boat for them, 70 plus meters, with some really standout design effects. And the one is this amazing open up beach club, which is spectacular. I've actually got some images for you to share. But really, really open and incredible. And it would have been, you know, 1500 gigaton interior. I mean, just huge amounts of space.
1500 gigaton? No,
I'm reading the wrong thing, but don't worry. Okay. we are. There's just a really incredible amount of space on that boat, and open spaces. Really, really wonderful. But the interesting thing is that the market is really kind of moving. And so these really beautiful concepts, and not some of the mad concepts that we see in the press that never, ever are going to get built.
I love mad concepts.
And but they never really get built, Dave.
I don't understand why. I mean, I guess you just got to find the buyer. And a lot of the concepts, they go out there, maybe they're just too unpalatable. But I think that's what pushes it. You see these futuristic concepts and they go nowhere. It's like it's for a trade show. It's the same with cars. And
but maybe they do. Maybe we don't get to that particular concept, but they take pieces of it and it's part of the development. Yeah. Look at the difference in superyachts in comparison to what we had, say, 20 years ago. You know, the design has got a lot more sleek and varied. And now, of course, we have a lot more shipbuilders.
And it's a very conservative world anyway, so. Small change.
Well, this one really did have some standout features, but I think the beauty of it is that they actually go, someone will buy this and get it built. And the thing that I loved the most, it had this like double walled glass bottom swimming pool that was suspended in the bow. It was really spectacular. So it's like you're walking below the swimming pool. It was just spectacular, super beautiful. Axe bow, really sleek and kind of crisp exterior lines. Lovely.
I do hope
someone actually buys it because it's beautiful.
I come from the family that you just don't walk under a ladder. So walking under a swimming pool, I don't think I'll be doing that.
I think that sounds cool. I think it's the light from it as well, I'd say is lovely.
I am going to send you over some pictures of that just so that you can see it. But that was a fascinating way to start the day up at the Fairmont this morning with them at Tankoa and a really, really nice team who are making incredible amounts of boats. Everybody is so busy. It's been really great to hear, you know, from the horse's mouth, as it were, that people are really, there's a lot of very big positivity from the shipyards and all the way down in the industry, which is always good. It's nice to see some good news after all this time.
Yeah, and I think to see it in reality, you know, we've certainly had the updates and been commenting on it, but there's nothing, you know, Monaco Yacht Show is kind of the jewel and the crown in many ways, of particularly of European yacht shows. So to see it up and happening and in person, I think it's great to actually feel it, as Kitty would say,
to actually taste it.
To taste the experience.
I think there's something to be said about that, Maeve, actually. A lot of our American colleagues are here, of course, because they can travel to Europe and they have arrived. There's lots and lots of American voices up and down the dock, which is nice because I think we've missed them all there. It's been a while.
And talking about boat shows, you were also talking about that with Peter Hertzler and Toby McLaren from Ocean Independence.
Yes. Absolutely. And I hadn't really spoken to a lot of brokers since I've been here. I'm too busy speaking to shipyards, really. So it was really nice to meet those guys and go aboard with them. And again, the industry is flying and they all seem very, very happy about the way things are going for Ocean Independence. It's nice, you know, to be able to see as well how happy they are to be able to connect with their clients in a personal way and actually show them aboard rather than doing things over Zoom.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. It's such a tactile purchase.
And I thought Peter's comment on, you know, you were asking him about boat shows. And I thought, well, two things. I had the pleasure of talking with Peter at, I think, one of the first PAMA shows.
Yeah.
And he really worked his way up from bread and butter, you know, himself and his brother.
A single room in Zurich.
So I thought his comment of not just the importance of boat shows in being able to really show the clients and have the experience, but he also commented how important boat shows were for all of the part of the industry that worked in them. You know, that boat shows are their bread and butter as well. And that even though there were less people maybe at Monaco, they were very motivated people.
Quality.
It sounded like quality versus quantity, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think business is being done in a big way at this show. And it's good to see, you know, everybody in one place. And also, you know, has to be said, riding that wave of, you know, like a renaissance in this industry where everybody is so busy. And I think it's important that we've got something positive, even in the high luxury industry. It's just good that people are buying again, just showing a little bit of hope after all of this difficult period that we've been through. But that was not the last boat that I went on today.
Tell us more.
This afternoon, I must say, I went on one of the most spectacular vessels I think I've ever been on in terms of looks. Motor Yacht Tatiana is causing a huge stir at this show.
She's the 87 meter from...
She's the 80 meter building yacht. She's, of course, 80 meters is the one of the largest vessels to come out of Turkey. And of course, the building yard is doing amazing things. I've seen lots of videos. Lots of people have talked about motor yacht Tatiana. But if there's ever a reason to go aboard, and you're talking about feeling, touching, sensory, I mean, it's the interiors are just spectacular. It's H2 yachts.
I have seen some photos and it does look magnificent.
Well, and interestingly,
it really is.
That's one of their, you know, extra side parts is that they actually build the furniture. Am I right?
They have they make up to about 90% of the boat is in-house work. They've got a steel, not manufacturing, but a steel fabrication part of their company. They've got furniture division that builds the furniture, and they pretty much do everything in house, and it's
family run business,
and they're
as well
growing very quickly. In the last year or two, they've really spread out. They've got extra space in a marina there. I can't remember which marina it was, but they've taken out extra facilities, and I think they can build about 6 or 8 boats simultaneously.
Wow.
They've got so many things to say about Belgium. I think we are going to be talking about them a lot more in the years to come. And they're definitely giving the Italian and some European shipyards a real run for their money. You know, the quality of the vessel I saw today is absolutely impeccable.
Well, I think that's where the stunning. Because if you go back 10 years ago, people started going to Turkey, looking at refits, etc. And it was the same sad story coming from every captain. Yeah, we got a great deal, but the work, the craftsmanship, the pace of work, it was just a nightmare. And Turkey learned from that very, very quickly and pulled their socks up, where now you talk to people and it's the preferred place to go. And you see that also in the quality of the bills coming out of there, that, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you wouldn't want to be seen dead in a Turkish boat. But these days, you've been on the Bilgin one.
It would not surprise me if she wins Best in Show. I have never seen, I don't think, with a yacht of that size, so many people wanting to go on tours, people taking photographs from the dock. She's got this incredible spa, beach club. There's several pools. I mean, the owner's, he has his own suite, which is at his own floor, private jacuzzi overlooking the bow, huge spaces full of light, enormous windows, the cinema, there's a spa, there's a gym. I mean, it really is impeccably done. And in terms of the interiors, there is a mix of, and you can tell that, you know, it's fully custom and a mix of textures and shapes, but just done impeccably. She really is a beauty, and I'm really glad to go and see her today.
Reminds me of my old bedsit. These are all the things I wanted in my old bedsit. I miss that.
Yeah,
place.
I think you'd have to have several bedsits to accommodate any number of those features. It was.
I think the bedsit would probably
massive.
Be the size of the jacuzzi, Lucy.
Fit all that into 5 meters squared.
Yeah, she's an enormous, but very beautiful vessel. That was a lot of fun to go and
quite
see.
Quite a Tatiana very wide today. Beam on her. She's something like 18 meters beam.
She's imposing, but the interior, it doesn't feel imposing. It's incredibly luxurious, as you'd imagine, but it just feels warm, very, very nice, and full of light. So, yeah, if I had the requisite spare few quid, I would go and buy myself one of those.
Do it, Lucy.
It's interesting, actually. What I did find out is that that's their fourth build for the same owner.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, so a real collaboration between the shipyard and the growing tastes and I guess pockets of a really wealthy person. But yeah, really beautiful person.
There is a loyalty. It was one of the things that Peter and Toby were talking about, of not just seeing a new influx of a new younger client coming in who might be a first-time boat owner, but also the repeat, you know, older repeat client who, you know, has a loyalty to a certain style of boats and, you know, love them. That was the story of Monin 2 years ago, they love the Monin boat so much that they ended up buying the shipyard.
It's not just the boat, though. What gets the loyalty with a lot of them is the build experience. And I remember talking with Tony, can't remember his second name. He's had about four boats, Benettis, all named after James Bond movies. And why he keeps going back to the yard, it's not because of the quality of the boat. He likes working with the shipyard. He likes the people. He likes the process. And that's why he's a repeat thing. So it's not always just about the boat. It's a lot of the time it's about the yard, the people, the project managers, etc. And in fact, who did we speak to recently? Maybe I read about it. One particular owner, he was so happy with his last boat. Not only did he go back to the same yard, but he insisted they get the exact same people back on the team. And
well, so it's a real true collaboration, is it, between the owner and the team?
Yeah, but
it's a long time. A 4-year build. It's a long time, isn't it?
Well, this one they had to delay it because certain people were on other projects. He was like, "No, I will wait, but I want that designer. I want that build cap. I want." And he got the individuals back in the team to do his next boat. That's loyalty.
Wow.
That's also type A personality, but there you go. You get what you want when you have that money.
Absolutely, you do. I did swing by also today talking to designers, the Espen Oino talk in the Superyacht Times Innovation Hub. But I will tell you this, so popular is Mr. Espen Oino, I couldn't actually get in.
It's easier to go for a pint with Bono up on Casino Square than it is to get to see that gentleman. I'm not kidding.
It's a very small, I mean, it wasn't a press event, so it was open to everybody. It's a reasonably small space. And I could have stood right at the back but couldn't hear anything. So he was starting to talk about the Water Revolution Foundation, which I really wanted to hear what he had to say. But unfortunately, guys, he was just too popular. Couldn't get in there.
At a Michael Jackson concert.
Right. Well, he kind of is, you know, the yacht designer star. In how many boats have we talked about over the past year or two? And somehow his name is attached at some point to
12.
Exactly. So 12? I think what I'm going to do.
12 is the amount of boats we talked about that had nothing to do with it.
Well, I think what I'm going to do is try and get a one-on-one time with Mr. Oino himself at some point during this show, or at least organise later on, because I think if he's that popular, then we do need to speak to him.
The only way you're going to do that, Lucy, is if you wait for him to be driving by and you jump in front of the car.
I'll try to get over.
His chauffeur may get out, but hopefully he'll get out to see how you are as well. Then you whip out the recorder and you go, while we're waiting for the ambulance.
Good plan. That'll be my next move, Dave.
It's okay. It's only a flesh wound.
So this evening, my day has not stopped once I've spoken to you guys.
You're kind of jumping, can I say, nationalities here. You know, you started your morning, you know, and you've moved through UAE and now on to Italian boat because you're heading
to be an Italian themed evening because I'm off to see them at Benetti, which is going to be fantastic. As you know, we spoke with Benetti for the last time back at the Yacht Masters in 2020, the last event that I went to in that year, the first and only yacht event of 2020 for me. So it's going to be great to catch up with the team at Benetti and find out what's going on with them. They've actually got the largest yacht that's on show at Monaco at 108 metres. It'll be nice to catch up with them. And then afterwards, off to another Italian themed event with some friends at Northrop & Johnson. So it's going to be a very busy evening for me, but I will report back on all the news tomorrow.
Do you know what sounds like a lovely mixture too, because the big events that used to be on, you know, like the James Bond party and whatever aren't happening. But I think there's a lot to be said for sort of smaller, more personal events.
Yeah, I think so. And the restaurants here in Monaco are all very busy. You know, I think people are more having dinners rather than going from these big events. And actually, I think it is much nicer for lots of people because it's just catching up in that more personal way, which is, of course, what we've all been missing all this time. So, yeah, there's a really good atmosphere here at the show and looking forward today number three tomorrow, where we will definitely be catching up with friend of the station, Avnis Stahl, who I saw today.
Oh, brilliant.
Briefly, we'll also be talking with Marcy and Lena from Northrop & Johnson crew and let them know from their perspective from as crew agents what's happening here in Monaco, and some more friends of the show I think we're going to be speaking with tomorrow. So it won't just be me giving you the lineup. We expect some new voices to join us tomorrow for our catch-ups, guys.
Well, make sure you get home early to bed.
I've been so good so far, but but the jury's out on tonight. Well, the thing is, tomorrow morning I can't really, because we're rushing off again to FedShip, and then we're speaking with them at Rossi Navi. So it's not going to be that much of a late night for me, because it'll be bright and early in the morning.
Well, enjoy each moment. Goodness knows that we've all been waiting a long time for this big boat show to happen. So have a great time this evening. Thank you so much. And to all of you, stay tuned. Coming up after some music is Lucy's catch up with Peter Hertzler and Toby from Ocean Independence, and to hear all that they said about the Monaco show. Stay well, and we'll catch you tomorrow, Lucy.
Thanks, guys. See you.
Stay well and stay sober. Till tomorrow. Ciao, Lucy.
You're listening to Super Yacht Radio.